Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Ray Heinisch, and I'm joined here in the studio with Blythe Auberg. Hey, Blythe.
Hey, it's the virtual studio for us, Ray, right?
The virtual studio, yes.
I hope everybody's having a great fact-cutting day. We have another fantastic podcast lined up for you all today. I'm ready to jump into it if you are.
Yeah, you know, this podcast is called The Weight Loss Hierarchy. Now, on the surface, Blythe, it's going to come off a little bit on the fundamental side, but just bear with us as we kind of go through this podcast episode so that you start to get, more of the how to apply this topic into your life. That's what I'm interested in conveying to you guys today. Does that make sense?
Yes. And actually, because it's fundamental, it's very, very easy to follow. Some of you may want to take notes. This has got lots of golden nuggets, which we always like to give you guys. So pay attention or take notes. Get your pen. Let's go.
You know, this whole podcast today is just one big golden nugget. So here we go. The weight loss hierarchy is basically a framework that we use for building a weight loss program. It is the system for, you know, what do I do first? What do I do second? What do I do third in building the weight loss program, right?
This is going to answer a lot of questions, I think, that are related to that, that people may be asking themselves, maybe not directly, but this is going to answer a lot of those indirect questions, I think. This is an exciting topic for me because it covers such a wide realm of information for people.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you have this hierarchy, you know, this weight loss hierarchy, it allows us to make a snap decision when life has a tendency to get in the way, right? And it always gets in the way one way or the other, right?
That, and this is what can make or break your program. So making those little quick decisions are often we find ourselves making those quick decisions. Oh, I've only got a half an hour. What should I do at the gym? And you find yourself like floundering what to do. Well, we're going to answer those questions for you today. We're going to help you make quick, decisive choices by giving you the order or the priority of which these things, which workouts and food should come. Because people are asking us about that stuff a lot. We get that question a lot, just in a bunch, you know, different ways people word the question, but it is a very, very good one. We're here to answer that today.
It's like a recipe. You know, when you think of a recipe is not just a list of ingredients. Oftentimes, now not always, but oftentimes, a recipe requires that you have a list of ingredients and then the instructions on how to mix those ingredients together. Many recipes, you just can't throw everything in a bowl, mix it up, and throw it out into a pan or something. It requires a little bit more finesse than that. It requires that you put an ingredient in first, a specific ingredient first, followed by another ingredient, followed by another ingredient. You know, there are some recipes, you know, like, I don't know, I've never made a souffle, but I imagine that a souffle requires you be very specific about how ingredients are added together. If you don't add them together in the right ingredient, in the right order, even if you have all the right ingredients, you can end up with something that's totally different than what you expected.
That is golden nugget number one. Golden nugget number one is you have to put them in the right order. You may be one of those people asking yourself, but I'm doing everything, but it's not working. But the question there might be, you know, for you, are you doing them in the right order? So you might have everything right. But if we give you the right order in which to do these things, you'll add that extra little bit of finesse. I like that word, to your fitness program.
Awesome. That's perfect. So the three main ingredients, what are they?
Number one is diet and nutrition. And I know this sounds repetitive. We put a little picture up on Facebook the other day that said abs are made in the kitchen. And that is true. It's 80% true. Okay. I like to say diet and nutrition plays a role of 80% of the equation.
Okay.
The second one is muscle building exercises. I like to call them resistance training, but it doesn't always have to be with weights. Okay. We'll go into that in a minute. And then non-muscle building exercise, aka cardiovascular exercises, maybe jogging, doing things that get your heart rate up, but you're not necessarily building muscle while you're doing them.
Right. So those are the three ingredients: diet and nutrition, muscle building activity, and non-muscle building activity. Mm-hmm. And we're very, you know, there's a very specific reason why I, you know, we kind of put it into that terminology, because muscle building activity can include many different types of things. It doesn't Yes. have to be weight training. It can be other things as well, like hard all out sprinting. I believe can actually build muscles in the legs for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, look at sprinters. You know, they work out in the gym, but their activity, their training is mostly going to be sprinting activities, and they are mm-hmm. fit as a fiddle, right?
Well, so, you look at their legs, and they're just built completely differently than people who don't sprint.
Right. And so you don't need a weight set in order to build muscle. So muscle building activity includes many kinds of things.
Yes.
Non-muscle building activity basically is everything else. As you mentioned, it's the cardio, it's the swimming, it's the cycling, it's mm-hmm. the jogging, it's the treadmill, the elliptical, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So those are the three main ingredients. So how do we combine them? Before we get into that, Blythe, I want to point out that most people start when, let's say somebody is 250 pounds and they want to lose 50 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. The way they'll start the program typically is to start with exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge mistake, meaning that they will just start working out without changing their diet, thinking that they can burn away some of the calories that they've been eating and therefore start to lose weight. And that's a big mistake.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of guidance out there that's very misleading that, you know, we do say get active. We don't mean do that without changing your diet. It all has to go hand in hand. So getting active is great. Give yourself a pat on the back if you are getting active. But even before you get active, it's important to pay attention to your diet and nutrition.
Right. And golden nugget number two is this, is in the beginning, when you're starting a weight loss program, and all this stuff is going to help even people who've been on a weight loss program for some time. But if you're just starting a weight loss program, the way that I would look at it is that diet is 95% of the picture
mm-hmm.
and exercise and activity is 5% of the picture.
Mm-hmm. And
that's how important the diet is. Now, as we lose weight and as we get closer and closer and closer to the maintenance phase of our program, then it becomes less and less about diet and more about exercise. But it never kind of crosses that 80% threshold. Diet will almost always be 80% of the picture, and exercise and activity will be 20% as it pertains to maintaining your weight.
Yes. So once you reach that goal, you can let up a little bit of slack.
Right. So the first step, as we mentioned, is diet, right? Is mm-hmm. We've got to focus as much attention on diet as possible. The second is muscle building activity. And the third and last, and you know, basically we call that the scraps off the table, go
the
to
leftovers.
Cardio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how do we use this? How do we combine these three ingredients together in a real life situation?
Okay. Well, since we've clarified that diet and nutrition takes precedence over everything else, the bottom line is you can't go and pig out on cheesecake and go, well, I'm going to do extra cardio tomorrow. And I think that's the way a lot of people live. So we want to sort of debunk that myth. You can't outrun or, you know, work off a bad diet. So I have a lot of clients that come to me and they tell me I'm going to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. You know, I don't have time to prepare my food. But when diet and nutrition are that important, I usually tell them that it's time to drop an hour or two at the gym and put that time in the kitchen. That's going to set you up for a great week. It's going to set you up for a great day of eating. It sets you up for making quick decisions on what to eat rather than meandering around at lunchtime. What should I eat? Or dinner time, looking through the fridge. What can I concoct? You've already made that decision. It simplifies your life. And it also helps you make healthier decisions.
Time, 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 time. Time is what people kind of list as their first and number one obstacle. They don't have enough time. So we're going to really answer that question here. I mean, the first thing that we have to say, if you say you don't have enough time, we have to kind of give you a little bit of tough love here and say that, you know what? We all get the same amount of time. You know, the president of the United States gets the same amount of time as you do. The you know, the bodybuilder who dedicates, you know, a certain amount of time towards eating and exercise, they mm-hmm. have the same 24 hours as you do. So mm-hmm. the issue isn't time, is it? What is it?
The issue is the use of your time, time management.
Or the priorities.
Mm-hmm. And putting things in the right order. Now, if you could put 100% of your day towards diet, nutrition, muscle building exercise, non-muscle building exercises. We said that like 95% should be diet, nutrition. So number one, that is the first thing you're prioritizing for yourself for your fitness and weight loss plan. Number one would be the diet and nutrition. That comes first.
Well, let's put that into a concrete example. Okay. So let's say that you have 20 pounds to lose and you want to lose that weight in 2 months. Now, that's a very, very aggressive kind of weight loss program. 20 pounds in 2 months.
Not impossible, though.
Not impossible, but it's an aggressive program. You know, I normally like to recommend people shoot for one half to 1 pound of weight loss per week, of fat loss per week. Okay, but let's say you set a goal of 20 pounds in 2 months. So the next question is, how do you allot your time? Well, how much time do you have to dedicate to that 20 pounds in 2 month goal? Right.
Okay.
So let's say that you have the ability to dedicate 5 hours per week to the achievement of that goal.
Okay, that sounds about right. I think most people dedicate like an hour a day or so.
Yeah. So let's say that that's the case. Now, using the weight loss hierarchy, how do we allot that time? What percentage goes to diet? What percentage goes to non-muscle building exercise? And what percentage goes to muscle building exercise?
Okay, well, let's say, I think for a beginner, somebody who's new at preparing all their food, let's allot 2 hours out of that week to prepare your food. Now, this 2 hours may change into 1 hour as you get more familiar with, you know, making the recipes, or you continue to eat the same things over and over and you find that you really like them and you get really good at making the recipes. But let's commit 2 hours, okay?
2 hours. The average beginner, I think, will take about 2 hours to prepare food for the entire week.
Yes, we're talking like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and having snacks. So 2 hours is a good amount of time. That leaves 3 hours for exercise. Now, I know for me, I would allot probably 2 or 2.5 of those hours to resistance training or muscle building activity. Let's call it that, because it's not, you know, push-ups are not lifting weights, but they are a muscle-building activity, and I love doing push-ups. So let's say muscle-building activity. I would choose 2 to 2.5 hours and then, you know, maybe save the cardio for my warm-ups and cool-downs or something like that.
So what you're saying is that if somebody has 5 hours to allot to their particular fitness goals, that the first thing you do, you don't just distribute that time across the three ingredients of weight loss. What you do is you start with diet and nutrition. And you say, how much time is it going to take for me to be able to make sure that my diet is in check? Now, what if that's 3 hours? What if that includes 3 hours of time and you're just really bad in the kitchen like myself and you got to allot 3 hours per week towards the making of food? You only have 2 hours left. I mean, are you really suggesting that we just that we spend the rest of the 2 hours on resistance training and do no cardio?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. I would, if it were me personally, I would break it up into 4 30-minute workouts, and I would make those 4 30-minute workouts resistance training, and I would make them extremely intense so you get the effect of the best fat burning, and forget the cardio. I would just wipe out the cardio for now.
Awesome. I think that that is the best plan, and that is the purpose of the weight loss hierarchy, because now what we can do is we can say, okay, well, I've got this much time to allot to fitness. What happens if? Okay, so let's say that you dedicate the 5 hours, okay, and you've got your plan all set up. Okay, you're going to do 2 hours of food prep in the beginning of the week. You're going to do let's say 40 minutes of resistance training or muscle building activity twice a week.
Okay.
And how much time is left?
We've got another 40 minutes.
Okay, so let's say we do 3 sessions of 30 minutes, and then that leaves 30 minutes for aerobic activity. Now, let's say that you're working and all of a sudden the boss comes to you and says, okay, I need you to work on this project. And it's going to take 2 hours out of your week that you weren't expecting. And so now, instead of 5 hours for this particular week, you only have 3 hours to allot. How then do you allot your time?
Well, diet and nutrition still takes precedence. So the exercise would be what has to be dropped first. Drop the non-muscle building exercise or the aerobic activity first. and then pull the rest from your muscle building exercise. As you get quicker in the kitchen, though, I don't want people to think they're going to be spending all these hours in the kitchen, although it is so, so important that you make that the number one priority. Like we said, 95%, you know, that is it, the diet and nutrition. But as you get better, you know, your 2 hours will become shorter and shorter. Here's a couple of tips for making your time in the kitchen a little quicker. If you find that you like recipes like a crustless quiche, which I put a recipe up on our Facebook page the other day, I call it an egg bake. Basically, it's a quiche. It's got everything that a quiche has in it, minimal cheese or low-fat cheese. I use a lot of feta. And then you bake it without a crust. Well, if you're going to bake something, bake everything. You know, find some protein bars that would make great snacks that you can bake in the oven. Find some no-bake things. Choose recipes with fewer ingredients. So don't choose, you know, like a lemon herb chicken with rice pilaf or something like that that requires 40 different ingredients. Mm-hmm. Choose simple recipes to start. And also choose things that you're comfortable making and that you enjoy eating. So that'll take a little bit of experiment, but as you get better and better at making these things and more comfortable making them, the process becomes quicker and you will be saving yourself time. And then you get to add that time back into your exercise. Because I find that a lot of people actually, we start with the exercising because we enjoy it and we know how to do it. It's more challenging to change your diet and nutrition than it is to just get on a treadmill and start walking.
Right. You know, I made a point on Facebook to say that people, when we were asking about, well, what is the one biggest thing, the one biggest mm-hmm. stubborn habit that if you could get rid of that one habit would have the biggest effect on your weight loss goals? And, you know, oftentimes people say, well, I food prep.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but I can exercise just fine. It's just the food prep gets me. You know, the problem with diet is that in the average day, we have to make over 200. The average person has to make over 200 food decisions.
Wow.
Okay. Only one exercise decision. Do I go or don't I go?
Right.
Right. And so It's so much easier to say, okay, I'm going to go exercise because that's one decision our brain has to make. And then what we say is, okay, now that I've done the exercise, this thing called the halo effect takes over. And I say, okay, well, I don't have to worry about food. Right, I've done my good deed for the day. I don't have to worry about food. That's why I think a lot of people have a tendency to gravitate towards the exercise rather than the mm-hmm. diet, because you've got to be thinking about diet practically all day long.
Yes, and that's why a lot of people, I also think, are stuck where they're at because they're doing everything, but they're just not doing it in the right order. Or with the correct level of importance. You know, some people might eat great 50% of the time. Just think if you bump that up to 80% of the time, 70% of the time, you would be getting better results. So we're here to help you guys get the best results the quickest way possible. Just don't forget, diet and nutrition is number one, always.
Yeah. And other tips, let's see if we can think of some other tips for people. When you are cooking, let's say you're cooking for the family, mm-hmm. you're making spaghetti and marinara sauce, okay? Mm-hmm. You got to realize, well, that you have four burners on your stove typically. You know, mm-hmm. let's say you have two burners, but two to four burners on the stove. So if you've got one going making the sauce, then what you may do is first make a bigger tub of that, throw in some meatballs, and then when you're done cooking, store away those meatballs for later. And then you have a very high protein, low carb dish that you can get to during the week if you need it. Right.
So you're preparing your meals for the week. You could even like make a chili on the side or just brown some extra ground turkey. You know, you can multitask in the kitchen. I know quite a few people who are good at that.
Right. You know,
another tip.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
I was going to say another tip is NEAT. We talked about this in a previous podcast. NEAT stands for, it's the acronym for non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So basically it's how active you are all day. So if you guys saw me sitting here right now, I'm waving my hands around when I talk. I'm not a person who sits still. Ray brought up the suggestion one time, and I absolutely love this, and I put it to use the day he told me about it, is instead of using the hand dryer or a paper towel when you go to the restroom, do 25 jumping jacks and dry your hands that way. I do it. I love it. It's neat. It's non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Although that's kind of pushing it just a little bit because it is a little bit of exercise, but it's a way that you can incorporate exercise into your day without going to the gym or making the extra effort, you know, to go somewhere and do it.
Right. And so the point is try to make use of your time better. You know, we talked about this in the fat versus the fat FAT versus yes. PHAT. We need one for food. Like when you're cooking your food, that's potential high food cooking time. Like mm-hmm. you can have four pots going at the same time. You get four times as much food made in almost a quarter of the time. Well, in the same amount of time, it takes you to make one pot of food. So
there you go.
You know, when you're cooking up vegetables, you know, if you're making a salad, make enough salad for 3 days. I mean, if you make salads for 3 days, you're not going to triple the amount of time you're going to spend in the kitchen. You're going to increase the time maybe 10, 15%, but you're going to make three times as much food. So
right.
just really look at your life in terms of how can I get leverage? How can I get leverage on my time? Because it's very important. It is the one commodity in our life that we don't get more of, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that being the number one complaint amongst everybody, I think we're just going to have to say sorry. Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to help you manage your time. And that's why we have this weight loss hierarchy. We can help you guys manage your time by putting things in the proper chronological order to get the best results with the time that you have.
Okay, so that is a discussion on the weight loss hierarchy. And one final little tip that, because we've been talking a lot about food prep in this podcast, is there is a website you can go to. It's www.stilltasty.com, stilltasty.com. And I'll have that in the resources section of our website. If you go to our website, there's a link at the top. It says resources. It's in the navigation bar. Mm-hmm. And I'll put that under website resources. And stilltasty.com. And what the website does is you go on there and you can find a particular food and it tells you how long it's good in the refrigerator and how long Ooh. It's good in the freezer. So if you're it gives you raw and cooked equivalents. So if we're talking about beef brisket, it gives mm-hmm. you how long it can store in the fridge, fresh or raw, and how well it can be stored in the fridge, cooked. So
wow,
that's a
okay.
really great resource. And there's also yeah. a iPad app for that. It's called Still Tasty as well. And I'll put a link to that app in our resources as well. Okay, so that's a good tidbit that I think a lot of people can use because I know I am deathly afraid of foodborne illness, primarily okay. because of pharmacy school. When we went through pharmacy school, they would show us up close, you know, slides of what these nasty bugs look like that cause all these diseases. And plus, owning a restaurant, mm-hmm. You know, it's another thing you've got to be really careful about. So I'm obsessed about not developing foodborne illness. So I love this website because I don't want to eat something that goes bad. So
right. Oh yeah. No, that's a great piece of information. If you guys haven't checked out our website, there has been some revamping done. Super simple to use. We've added a recipes tab. If you haven't downloaded the Ultimate Weight Loss Tool, once you go to our page, www.cutthefatpodcast.com, you go to the main page there. There's a video that will pop up. Push play on the video. Follow the directions. It's super, super simple. You won't get spam from us. It's just something you can download, and it will help you track your weight loss.
Right. We keep you up to date when we update the website, when we add new blog posts, or when the podcasts come out, we send the email out announcing that as well. There's a new commenting system that will allow yes. us to make sure we can get back to you guys in a timely fashion. Because in the past, the commenting section, if there was a blog post that was 3 months ago and you comment on that, we may not see that because of all the spam and stuff. Well, the mm-hmm. new commenting system will make sure that we see everybody's comments. It cuts back on spam and makes it a lot easier and faster for us to get back to you as well.
And you know we love to get back to you guys. We enjoy all of the comments that you post up there on our Facebook page. If you haven't joined our Facebook page yet, it's go to Facebook, www.facebook.com, and type in Cut the Fat Podcast, all one long word, no spaces in between. Like our page. We've got great questions on there. We've got a lot of people that go on there and comment, which Ray and I love to share the warm and fuzzies. We get on there. It warms our heart. So we appreciate that. Thank you, guys. And feel free to post questions, post up comments. I've been putting recipes on usually every weekend. I'll put something up there with a new recipe to try, maybe, you know, a breakfast recipe or something to try during the week. When I do put recipes up there, I make sure that they are something that will fit in with a healthy, nutritious diet plan.
Awesome. And, you know, please help us build the community. We want to build the Cut the Fat community into a force to be reckoned with on Facebook. So, you know, tell your friends, bring your family and friends in on it, and just keep posting comments and questions and any kind of, you know, comments that you may have. If you learn a new tip, post it up there so we all can see it and stuff like that. Okay?
Yes. The community enjoys that. That's for sure. And so do I.
Yes. All right, well, that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to bring you the next podcast as well.
All righty. Thanks, guys. Have a great fat cutting couple of weeks, and we will be back at you with another great podcast.
All right, see ya.
Say you want to try something new. A little twist of what you know is true. You're in a cloudy home, shit don't touch you. Feel a bliss of pop that passes blue. And all the sticky things that keep me sad.